I could listen to that all day. Miles Davis's All Blues, as interpreted by Ron Carter on bass, and a few good sidemen as well. We have tenor sax, Joe Henderson, piano, Sir Roland Hanna, and drums, Billy Cobham. This is the title track of Ron Carter's 1974 album, commemorating the 40th anniversary of the Miles Davis composition. This is Lead Stories. I'm Yatrice Lead. And, you know, we very seldom do comedy here on the program. It's time we do a little bit of comedy, I think. It's sorely lacking. I like the idea of laughing a lot. I like the idea of having a good little chuggle, if you will. And so one came by. We have the announcement by the mayor of the city of New York, Mr. William de Blasio, who says he'll be running for president in 2020. Okay, that's a joke. Now, what I need is to hear from New Yorkers why so many people were saying this has got to be a joke. Even President Trump thinks it's a joke. So, you know, this is a thing that we have to look at a little more deeply. What say you to the possibility? Well, it's not a possibility now. He has announced he is a candidate, Mr. de Blasio. He is a candidate for president. Those of you in New York, what do you think about it? Do you think he would make a good candidate? Do you think that he is serious? Do you think that people will take him seriously? And why? What should we expect of the de Blasio candidacy? Is it going to go anywhere? Is it going to attract a great deal of attention and voters and so forth? What do you see ahead? We could dispatch this conversation pretty fast, but I thought we'd start off with this particular discussion today, because it seems like you and I are the only ones who are not running for president. Just about everybody is running for president. So, okay, so that's the first topic. De Blasio's candidacy for president in 2020. Is it going anywhere? Does it make sense? Is it something that he would bring that would be special to this campaign? Does he have what it takes to pull this off? And how will New Yorkers fare? Would New Yorkers embrace the idea that their own mayor is running? And are they likely to support him? Is he likely to get the kind of support at home that he expects, not only to be significant, but to actually take him to victory? That's the first question today. Okay, and while you ponder that, let me remind you that on Sunday, May the 26th, my face will be in the place at the community church. I'll be there to give a little talk starting at 1 o'clock sharp. Registration begins at 12:30. And by registration, I don't mean that you have to pay for anything. We just want to know who you are and that you showed up. And I'll be looking to put your name, your face to the name that I hear on the radio. So that's registration. This is totally free to the public. And it is about creating community and growing community. That's what my focus is. And I'd like you to be there to share in that experience. We did it last year. I was invited last year as well. And it was magical. It was a magical meeting. And I'm so looking forward to it being a repeat of the first meeting we had. I'm looking forward to it. So it is at 40 East 35th Street. That's the community church between Park Avenue and Madison Avenue. Again, we start at 1, and I'll be catching a plane right after that. So time is of the essence. We got to do things in timely fashion on that day. All right. So no callers. I'm amazed. New Yorkers have not yet called in to tell us what they think about their mayor declaring for the presidency in 2020. Can he claim it? Does he have that kind of political clout, political strength, political support in New York City? What say you, New Yorkers? I'm not hearing from you. If I don't, for the next couple of minutes, we'll move on. 888-874-4888 is in the number to call, and I'll move on to the next topic. You can always raise the matter from as we move on. I'm not going to exclude anybody at all. Let me just ask the engineer what's going on there. Are we okay with our phones? I'm not seeing anything. Oh, I see something. You know, it's an amazing thing how this all works out, you know? Willie, you start us off today from Brooklyn. Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, good afternoon, beloved. And
How
my
you doing,
beloved,
Willie?
my PRN family. Listen, you sound apologetic about the meeting that we're having in the church. Listen, if these politicians, when they have their fundraisers, they could charge 20,000, 10,000, whatever. I don't see nothing wrong with us paying for, to get in.
Well, of course, you're free to you make a donation. People are free to make a donation, but officially, we're not charging anything. It's come in and be part of this idea that we have, at least
Right.
I have, to be part of a community. And we don't have many communities existing anymore. So this is my effort to revive the notion that we should be part of a community, and that's why this is the appropriately named church, the community church.
That's right. Well, it sounds apologetic as though we should be happy to pay. From my point of view, anyway,
Well, let's see
because
how it goes. I mean,
to me,
anything that is offered is fine. But it
right.
really isn't conceived as a paid event.
Okay. Another thing is Bill de Blasio. No,
Yes.
he's out of it. Because number one, you have to be a billionaire. And as far as I know, he doesn't have that kind of money. Whoever gets elected to office in today's world, they have to be billionaires. Simple. So he's out of the question. It is a joke.
You don't
From my
think he
point.
has a prayer
You don't have
in a
the
contest for
money.
20 the presidency?
We only elect people to high offices that are billionaires. I don't think he's nowhere close to a billionaire. So
No,
that's a
he
joke.
isn't.
Well, it's a joke. Because that's the only kind of people that we elect. And one more thing, I would like to thank you for Tuesday's program. I'll speak on it Friday, tomorrow, okay?
All right. Thank you. Before you go, what exactly? I know you said that money is going to be a major issue, but is that the only stumbling block that you see for a potential run by de Blasio?
Yes. But the first thing is money. In everything, the first thing is money. And he, for elected office, you have to be a billionaire, because that's the only kind of people we elect.
Okay. Well, thank you, Willie, for getting us started today.
Not people, let me just say this. Not people who see our needs. Not people who feel our pain. We elect billionaires because we, in turn, think we're going to become billionaires, too. So it's a joke as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Bruce, what are you thinking about a de Blasio candidacy?
I'm still on. I'm still here, Leatrice.
Oh, okay. I was talking, hoping that Bruce would be on.
De Blasio as he's being mayor now and going for the presidency, anybody can run. For the presidency, it'll beat who's in there now. But my thing is for him to get my vote. I look at his track record and how he treats African Americans, in particularly. He's supposed to be the mayor of all people, and I'm from Brooklyn, and I see gentrification, high-rise buildings downtown Brooklyn going to reach the sky, and yet I don't see anything what he's doing and has done for black people, people of color in my community, where every nationality that I see gets urban renewal, gets funding. We pay a hell of a lot of taxes, and yet we see very little. That's just my thoughts about him. And not only de Blasio going for president, anybody else that wants my vote, they have to see. I have to see, statistically speaking, what have they done, like the song say, for me lately, or for our people lately. If they don't have no track record of doing anything, I have no use for them. That's the way I feel. And the way we go through what you had talked about, I think, earlier the week about Eric Garner case, and all this injustice happening to us. Where's the legislative bodies? I thought that was the division that make laws, create laws. It's like everybody is out to lunch. They don't see what's going on across, not New York, but across the nation. People getting shot and killed, and cops are getting acquitted, and there is murder, and nobody seems to know anything politically or how to cut this down, make laws to stop these things. I mean, I could go on. I have a whole cauldron that I'm about ready to kick over of stuff that happened to black people, and we get no justification for it. That's my thoughts.
So would you say then that de Blasio should know this? There are polls that show his rapport with the people is not what he thinks it is, but it's very different from what he imagines it to be, and therefore this announcement that he is going to be running as a candidate, I think he's the 23rd candidate to announce. What do you think he's thinking?
I don't know what he's thinking, but I say I don't really care what he's thinking. I was asked, what is he doing for us as mayor? Because that's who he is as mayor is who he's going to be as president. There's nothing going to change. And how he treats, he's supposed to be the mayor for all people, including African Americans, but we get little or nothing as far as justice, our fair share. I mean, what have he done? Statistically speaking, we want to. And I hear when you say the polls. Well, the polls, I don't vote for no poll. I don't know where you get these polls from. You have to.
Well, this is par for the course in politics. People always raise the question of their popularity as measured in the poles. Mm-hmm. So I was hoping that you might be familiar with some kind of poll living in New York that says what the people are thinking about their mayor.
Well, I'm not too much into polls, and I because polls can be altered or whatever, doctored up. You have to have people on the ground, like the intrepid reporter going to borough to borough, asking people, "What do you feel about de Blasio?" Like the old deceased mayor Koch, he used to always say, "How am I doing?" Well, you need to ask people, "How is Mayor de Blasio doing? And what have he done, or how do you feel he's done, hey, he's doing politically? Is he worthy of being the president?" And see what they say. You know, I mean, I'm not too impressed because, you know, he married a sister. You know, he got a family of color now. But it's not about him. It's about what he's doing and what he's done. That, like we say at funerals, let my work speak for me.
All right.
That's my thought.
Some very good points you raised today. Thanks a lot, Bruce, for your call. Patricia, how are you relating to this announcement by your mayor that he could very well be your president in 2020?
Good afternoon, Utrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family. I only have three words for de Blasio. Mr. De Blasio, that's four. Mr. De Blasio, you are delusional. He is not thinking clearly because he can't even run this city. You've got homelessness up. When he was running the last time, he talked about making certain that the homeless population was decreased. Well, guess what? Under his watch, homelessness has increased. Traffic can't move. Traffic is so congested that that's why congestion pricing is coming in and people won't be able to drive. Not that I'm a driver and support driving, but, you know, they're going to charge cars who come in below 60th Street a toll to come in, which is essentially a tax. You've got him supporting the police with all of the police incidents that we've had, including the trial that's going on this week. I mean, he is absolutely delusional. You've got kids in NYCHA housing, New York City Housing Authority housing, affected by lead because they lied on the paperwork and said that they had screened the apartments for lead and the lead had been abated. I mean, he's delusional.
So what could possibly have happened in his head? I mean, you're right, the word delusional comes in here, but what could possibly have persuaded him that he would have a good chance against the other declared candidates?
You know, I'm wondering if he's a narcissist like Trump. I think he's probably on the spectrum because there's no other rational explanation.
Oh, my goodness.
New York City has the most segregated schools in the country. The specialized high schools, Stuyvesant, 7 children of color, 7 out of 1,000 kids got into the specialized high school, specifically Stuyvesant. I mean, come on. He can't fix education. He can't give people, you know, housing that's not lead infested. He can't fix homelessness. What is he running on?
I don't know. That's for sure. I'm just asking. I thought people would have the answers, and it looks like we have people who have the answers. But, you know, when he announced, I said to myself, this is really gone crazy now.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you think enough of yourself, all right, you think a lot of yourself and so forth, but in your heart of hearts, and you know, with the people closest to you where you could confide your most secret thoughts, surely there's somebody nearby who can smack you and say, "Get back to reality. This is not going to happen."
Well, so I tell what you what, could, that's what, not going to happen because his wife got $500,000 for mental health treatment, and that was going to be her platform. And nobody has seen anything out of this $500,000 that she got for mental health services. That's going to be, that was supposed to be the first lady's platform. So whoever is close to him is not telling him the truth.
Hmm. Well, all right. Thank you, Patricia, for your, you could always bet on you for a candid assessment of a situation. Leah from Brooklyn. Thank you. Leah, what are you thinking about this announcement by Bill de Blasio that he is going to vie for the presidency in 2020?
Well, first, hi, Therese. I'm glad that you're well, and I look forward to seeing you. And I'd like to make a shout out to Sarah in Dallas. I hope she call in. I hope she's okay. But
I hope so too.
Yes. On the subject, I'd like to say I feel that Bill de Blasio has no chance. I think that when he was running for mayor, nobody paid him any attention until he did the commercials with his son Dante, and I think the Afro one, because everybody says, oh, he's got a black son, you know, and I think the Afro won the mayoralty. He ran on pre-K for four-year-olds, and everybody said, oh, that's great. And I attended recently the National Action Network conference where de Blasio was there, and now he's pushing for pre-K for three-year-olds, you know. And, you know, these are his two promises. What he needs to do is to fix the BQE, you know. I mean,
that's
there's so much.
Queens Expressway.
Yes, yeah, there are so many things he needs to do here in New York. I don't think he has any political clout. He's always at odds with Cuomo. I don't care too much for Cuomo either, but they seem to be doing things behind de Blasio's back, and he has no clue. He's not concerned about what his police are doing in our communities. We're being priced out of our neighborhoods. I was passing by a real estate office in Park Slope recently, and I saw a sign up for a studio in Williamsburg, $3,100 a month. I mean, crazy. He never did anything as public advocate. You never saw him at any of the city council meetings, whereas Tish James, who I am not one of her fans either, but she was there sitting prominently in the meetings. And, you know, he also defended that horrid woman who ran down or mismanaged NYCHA. He defended her to the hilt, and I'm very happy to say that my councilwoman, who's the chair of one of the co-chairs of the housing committee, fried and died her. So, you know, we need to get a political education and stop rolling over for a hot dog.
What, and, what do you think de Blasio is thinking about where a groundswell of support will come from?
I don't think that he's thinking, but I think that he, being at all that the most that he could think of at the NAN conference was pre-K for three-year-olds, you know, pushing that. I think that he's looking at the black and brown communities to come through for him again. And I don't think he really thinks that he can go against Trump. I mean, he just doesn't have that kind of, what can I say? I can't see him on the global stage, on the international stage. I just can't see it. He's going to drop out by the end of the summer, I think. let's get
real.
Oh,
my goodness. What a dire scene we are getting here from our callers today.
Yeah,
so far, not one vote for de Blasio.
No, not at all.
And people are articulating very valid reasons, I think. So I'm wondering if the people are feeling this way, and he is batting zero so far, I wonder what it is that he is thinking that makes him believe that whatever it is, he will prevail. There would be people who he's loved. He's well admired. You know, it's the same thing Trump said. You know, people love
his wife. Him. That's the only one that I discussed. You know, I don't know.
Well, we were looking for some levity, and I think we got it with this topic today. Thank you so much, yeah. Leah, for calling in. Gwen from New York, what do you think about Bill de Blasio's announcement that he is going to run?
Well, my goodness. First, I want to say that I was listening to NPR this morning, and one thing, I'm a very fair person, so one thing he did do, and I called my mother to tell her this right away, one thing he's done perfectly was he has named Donald Trump Con Don. Now, Con Don is going to stick, and I do love this, or Don Con, or Con Don, I don't know, but it's, I really liked it, and I called my mom, and I said, you know what, he's the first one that came out with something that I think is going to stick, and I think that part was hilarious. I do think Donald Trump is a con, and I think it's a perfect name for him. Bill de Blasio and I have a history with Bill de Blasio. I have disagreed with him for many, many years. I think the first one I ever had the big disagreement with him on was when I was at City Hall fighting to stop the upzone of 125th Street. And I remember isolating him on the side and saying, do you understand what you just voted for? Now, me, I didn't know anything about Bill de Blasio. I just knew he was some white guy from Brooklyn. So I wrongly assumed that he was just some white guy from Brooklyn. I had no idea that he was married to a black woman. I had no idea. I just thought he was like some suburbanite that didn't get what was really going to happen here. And he said, I voted to do the best thing for the people. So the best thing for the people was to vote to upzone them, to outzone them, to have them go and, you know, live in homeless shelters, because that's what these upzones amount to. They're very, very dangerous. And I fought very hard against Melissa Mark Viverito, who introduced this bill. It was her, the great crusade of the left, right, who turned over all this real estate to these horrible landlords while under the Bloomberg administration. So when he got in, a lot of people don't realize how he got in. He was brought in by Melissa Mark Viverito because she was the one who basically owns the SEIU. When they got Christine Quinn out, there was an opening.
The,
and I remember I was...
That's a union.
I'm sorry.
SEIU? No, I'm just trying to explain what SEIU is.
She has... the SEIU is a very large union. It's a medical, a lot of medical workers in the SEIU. And I remember I was at the debate with Melissa. I was running against her for city council. And I remember the night that she came in at this debate and announced that she was now going to throw her weight behind him. So the deal was made, just like they criticized Bloomberg for having Quinn as the lapdog, Christine Quinn as his lapdog. Melissa was going to be the lapdog of Mayor de Blasio. And how this was going to happen is Melissa Mark Viverito is directly connected to, sorry, I'm forgetting his name right now. I'll think of it in a minute. But she has very huge connections at the top of the unions. And so the deal was made that she would help de Blasio get in, and he would put her in as his lapdog, i.e. the speaker, which was really unbelievable because he did so much to help her get in, and there are two totally different offices, and one is not supposed to touch the other one. It is highly, highly problematic that he pushed to get her in. He basically did exactly what he criticized Bloomberg of doing. Anyway, since he's been in office, he has been Mayor Bloomberg, and I find it really weird. All the people that hate him don't say they don't hate Bloomberg. They don't resent Bloomberg. And Bloomberg gentrified and cleared out this city. By the time he left, 52,000 people were homeless. Now, as de Blasio is in office, 75,000 people are homeless because de Blasio followed exactly the same plan that Bloomberg has with gentrification and basically turning the entire city over to ravenous developers who are not just tearing down one house at a time. They're tearing down blocks at a time. So this is how he's gained momentum. But interestingly enough, the statistic came out on NYC this morning that Mayor de Blasio, although he only has 34% of the backing of white people in the city, the polls say that 60% of black people are supporting Mayor de Blasio. This is pretty interesting. So I think what they're looking at, they're only looking at numbers. They're not looking at what he did. They're looking at the numbers, and they're saying, to themselves, well, we might have a chance here, because if black people will come out and support de Blasio, he could win this, because it's going to be the black vote that makes a difference in all the presidential elections. There's more black and brown and people of color that are living in the United States now. And I think that's what his formula is. So I don't think he really cares what he has or has not done in New York. But I think the reason why there's so much bitterness coming across in these telephone calls is because he's always touted himself as this progressive. And to be fair, he did stop these horrible rent increases with rent stabilization that the Bloomberg administration had inflicted for 8 years, 12 years on the tenants of New York. He did stop those from happening. So it's very nice for the people that are rent stabilized, but what he didn't do was he did not stop this rampant overdevelopment, which is just taking hunks and hunks of the city away. And what has happened because of this is that New York City is the largest mass exodus of any city in the United States right now. In other words, more people are leaving this city, New York, than any other city in the United States. So
I just read an article yesterday in the local papers here about exactly the same thing, that people from New York are relocating like crazy to Florida. And I'm trying to tell them, no, don't do it. Don't.
It's true, but our rents, I mean, the rents in my building, I live in a rent-stabilized building. Now, the rent below me for the exact same apartment is $3,200. Across the hall, it's $3,800. And really, people are just really getting fed up. I mean, they're saying you can go to other cities like Philadelphia right now. It's really, really coming back on the map again. And you can't believe what they're doing in Philly. I mean, there's been some bad restorations, but there's been some really good restorations too. And so people are saying, I have met lifelong New Yorkers that I never thought would leave that said, I just bought an apartment or I just got an apartment in Philadelphia. I cannot live here anymore. Plus, everything's closing in New York.
Let me bring you back to the subject at hand. Mm-hmm. The subject at hand is the possibility, at least in Bloomberg, not Bloomberg, but in de Blasio's mind, that he could and possibly should be president of the United States. And so far, you've been listening. We haven't heard a good assessment. He hasn't gotten good marks or anything encouraging to say, well, yeah, he has that kind of potential. Do you think he has the potential to be president of the United States?
Well, I think at this point we would all be naive to say that he could not, because Donald Trump is the president of the United States. So you'd be really silly to say that he could not be the president. I mean, clearly he would come to the table with more qualifications and definitely more empathy for the sitting, slouching middle class of the United States. He would definitely be better than that. I just don't know what would happen in a round with Donald Trump. I just feel like Donald Trump is such a deviant that he would just wipe this guy off the map. Plus, Bill de Blasio in New York City gets horrible press. CBS TV from the get-go have treated him very unfairly and they have torn him to pieces. So that, you know, like I said, I'm not a Bill de Blasio fan and I go after him for a lot of things, but I think there are people that have been much worse. For example, I think Bloomberg was absolutely the worst mayor that this city has ever had. He was the iron fist in the velvet glove. So he wasn't a Giuliani with a big mouth going out there and saying all these awful things. What he was doing was he was ridding the city by droves of people, just getting rid of droves and droves of people through gentrification. And he wasn't saying anything about it. He went ahead and he made all of our schools, almost every single one of our schools, is now a charter school. And I remember being at the public school
but
forum
in Harlem. Let's stay on point. We're not talking about Bloomberg.
So just on the point, just on the point of de Blasio, I think that de Blasio, to me personally, right now, I think he has a snowball's chance in hell, okay? I don't think he can do it. But I do think that none of us should think that snowball can't happen, because it has happened. And for me personally, my candidates would be, you know, I would still prefer somebody like Bernie. I mean, I remember de Blasio had an event for Bernie, and I thought, you're such a son of a gun that you would have this event for him, and you sold him out. 380,000 votes went missing in New York City, and that happened under your watch. And there's no way that couldn't have happened if you did not have your direct ties to the Democratic Party, who had an agenda to make sure that this man would not get on the ballot. So I would say that Bernie was very forgiving and very gracious that night when I saw him. I almost puked and had to walk out. But, you know, I wouldn't write anything off if I were you in New York City. I wouldn't write anything off if for anybody.
So in other words, based on history, based on our recent record, it probably isn't impossible that this could happen.
It's not. It's not.
Cringe, but it's not impossible. Thanks a lot, Gwen. Ma'at from New York. What is your reaction to the announcement by Bill de Blasio that he is a candidate for the presidency in 2020?
Well, greetings to beloveds. I heard, as I'm getting going here, Bruce, I heard the last three or so callers, well, especially the two first callers I heard, Bruce and the young lady, I have to say ditto. I mean, first of all, let's talk about the fiasco he made in his announcement. He went to all places, to Trump Tower, if you can believe that, you know, under some green project. I mean, he didn't need to give publicity to what we're learning is starting to fail. But every aspect of his administration, which shows that even when you're connected with a black family and know what his son and daughter have experienced, it doesn't mean anything. With the police, he could have set himself as giving a model for the rest of the country. And I mean, the whole thing we were talking about yesterday, a Pantaleo, the department just sat on it, which he is the mayor and the head of the chief of the department. None of that. Romali Graham, police breaking into a house and shooting you in the bathroom. I mean, his record when it comes to the brutality and just lynching nature of police, he's just done nothing and actually contributed to the problem. Housing, in terms of his promises around affordable housing. In fact, he's been involved in some scandal regarding taking contributions from real estate interests, and he's been skating right on the against the actual law that's on the book. So every aspect of what he's brought as mayor to New York City when he was deemed to be a progressive have been, to use a word too often used, is a disgrace. I mean, the idea that, you know, we were just crossing our fingers and just hoping that somehow he wouldn't be delusional, as brought up previously, and he would not. And at this late date, he's announcing in that Democratic field. It just shows that people are just totally, totally, totally out of touch.
What do you think he's counting on in the way of support?
Well, that's a good question. Like I say, he's been skating legality in terms of donations, and he goes on WNYC public radio every Friday, and he gets belligerent when people try to ask him for accountability in these different areas. The MTA has become a triple F disaster. And, you know, there's been fighting between he and Cuomo, but, you know, the people who have to use it don't see any moving forward or any real change or any logic to what they're doing. So I can't even think of one area where I could say that he's outstanding. And when you look at, I mean, how is it that for 4 years, I believe it is, the police, the inspector said that all kinds of terrible things had happened. The ME said it was a homicide, and he let that department just come up with, well, we're waiting for the feds under Trump, right? And just let somebody who, first thing, should have been fired with his whole history and now a murder. And it's nothing I can say positive. He's a disgrace. And for him to throw himself into that ring, it's just a head shaker.
Well, what does it say about the party?
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
Since he's running under its banner.
Yeah, in fact, that's something I hadn't thought about. That's an excellent point, because he should have had to consult with somebody, and they didn't seem to have any problem. You know, it just puts a taint on everybody else in the running, and that was unnecessary, because we have some excellent ideas. And don't forget, because I haven't heard anybody, I missed it, but Harriet Williamson was on 1A on the 820 WNYC in New York, and I missed it, but she's someone who, when she was asked by a CNN host, John Berman, why she thought that she could, you know, tackle or be president, and her answer was just so smooth. She said, well, if Donald Trump could become president. So she's someone that I'd like to hear some thoughts of some of the other beloveds as to, because she came on with a whole platform, including a whole schema in terms of reparations and why we would do, she had come up with a $10 billion figure, which I guess would be a start.
Well, but in the meantime, are you expecting great things from this announcement? Are you expecting that maybe just the boldness of the announcement will energize support for the mayor?
No, I think that just is one more thing in his disgraceful mayoralty. He should have known better. He just reminded us of how delusional these politicians are, because Trump certainly is a delusional, and it's just a head shaker. You know, what was he thinking?
Well, you don't know, but thank you so much for your analysis. Chris, what are you thinking is the motivating factor here for Bill de Blasio to announce his candidacy for the presidency? Is Chris with us? Oh, Chris is not there. Okay. Well, we will know how serious he is, because there are certain rituals you look for. And one of the rituals is, you know, how people make it known who they're depending on for support. And in the case of de Blasio, I fully expect that he'd be looking for enthusiastic support from the African-American and Latino communities in particular. And you will know that it's serious because pretty soon there would be an appointment made with the Reverend Al Sharpton to have lunch at Sylvia's restaurant in Harlem. That's how you campaign. You identify the leader of the moment, and you go to lunch, and you invite the media to cover, you know, just get the pictures of you sitting at a table and you talking, and that suffices for campaigning in Black communities. That's right. You've had lunch with Al Sharpton at Sylvia's. So watch out for that scenario. Any day now, there will be the obligatory picture of the Black leader and de Blasio having lunch at Sylvia's restaurant in Harlem. And having made contact with, visibly made contact with Al Sharpton, would be tantamount to campaigning in the Black community. There you go. It's a tried and true formula. Chris, you're back. What do you think about de Blasio's declaration that he's going to run for president.
Thank you, Utrice. Good day, family. I'll try to keep that simple and straightforward as possible. The first thing that I thought when I heard that he was actually going to run was, oh, he's making a move to be DNC chair as opposed to being president, as the DNC needs to get its ducks in a row in terms of the African-American and Americans of color communities, just in terms of being able to affect any elections going forward. This just looks like him having a speech at the convention and DNC chair through the entire, and I'm not even sure who the DNC chairman is right now. I have no clue. And that's just my thought.
What would you think is his thinking? I mean, you just said that you think he really wants another position, and that would be the fallback position. And having announced that he was running for president, it would scare other candidates who have a much better chance into asking him to kind of back away. What do you want? What will it take for you to disappear? And maybe he would say, well, the DNC chair. But at the same time, he has announced.
Yes.
And this is a very major step. What do you think he is thinking his assets are?
Again, as the earlier callers have pointed out, his demographic leanings within the African-American communities and the non-white European-American communities within New York and how that plays out nationally. His family also serves as a beacon for an inclusive American selling point in terms of the Democratic Party, which needs to hem up and re-engage the African-American community, which will be the deciding factor within the next election and the election after that, as it has been for many elections. So,
but do you think even now, as the situation is, even without him declaring, do you think he has that kind of a clout within the Democratic Party that people would tend to take his announcement seriously and the potential of him being a leader within, a national leader within the Democratic Party? Do you think they'll take him seriously?
So I believe when we talk about the mechanisms of the Democratic Party, this is all speculation, as we know. We're speculating through. It is not necessarily about the rank-and-file members of the Democratic Party. It is about the executive and administrative aspects of the party that exist candidate to candidate. And so looking at the DNC's need for a complete apparent overhaul and having something to say that is relevant to actual perceived Democratic members. I haven't been a member of the Democratic Party in over 25 years, so I have to speak vaguely. I do not see any of the other candidates as being, other than when we talk about Bernie and when we talk about the former vice president, I goodness can't remember his name, which is horrible. Age is going to be a true factor and effect. And within the demographics of both the Republican and Democratic Party, age is an effect in terms of the number, the demographics of numbers, that percentage of voters that will be able to vote. And so with the demographic being skewed much younger now, with this onset of this very large millennial group that doesn't have any of the traditional or historical references that you'll hear on CBS or CNN or any of the other media outlets, that makes it seem as though we're still living under the greatest generation and every story that applied to them was relevant. That's not the case. So there are many other candidates out there. I do not necessarily see any of them necessarily being as strong
on the national scene. He does.
Me either.
De Blasio.
I said me either. I don't see them being particularly strong so far.
He is a strong candidate for VP for multiple people in checking a lot of boxes and bringing on board a coalition of voters for whatever candidate or ticket.
Well, let's go with what we've heard today. I mean, almost all the callers are from New York City. So we are assuming they know him well.
Harlem born and raised.
I'm sorry?
I said I'm Harlem born and raised.
Well, there you go. the callers are New York City born and bred, and that's a tough crowd, a very tough crowd. And we haven't had, at best, we had Gwen saying, well, you know, strange things have already happened. Look at Trump succeeding as president. But do you think this is heading in that direction? Does de Blasio, although he turns so many New Yorkers off for all kinds of reasons, do you think that he has some kind of support somewhere in New York City that is deeply rooted enough or committed enough to stick with him?
I believe that the Clinton machine, the Senate campaign and the presidential machine within the Democratic Party does need to ensure that it doesn't just go into obscurity. So the names that are associated and have been associated with the Clintons and their rise to whatever prestige that they've had during and post-presidency, during and post-senatorial existence. He is part of that team. Yeah, he's been part of that team. And so I make the DNC statement in terms of DNC chair as much for his associations with the Clinton machine and the people who have over time still been able to hang on to whatever positions that they have and are still around in the machine of the DNC, which can have people who can support Bernie Sanders, turn on Bernie Sanders in a second on demand. That is how I really look at it. And so I didn't know Bill Clinton and I should have through Iran-Contra. I should have, but I didn't. And the first president, of course, that I voted for was Bill Clinton. And I paid attention to that particular race. He came out of nowhere. What is a New Yorker paying any attention to who's coming out of Arkansas at the particular time? So we've seen not even having to go to Trump in particular, because as a New Yorker, Trump.
It's a strange world. And in the world of politics, it's even stranger. So anything is possible. So we have to keep our ears to the ground to figure out what else is coming our way. Thank you, Chris, for your analysis today. Thanks for calling back. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. And it's very revealing. I wonder if public officials really pay attention to what people are saying about them. Not about them personally, but about their performance as public officials, as public servants. We will have to see where Mr. de Blasio goes with this, whether people are successful in persuading him to reconsider his position, or whether he will get a sudden boost out of nowhere and be Trump number two. You never know. But this is the interesting thing about politics. You always have to pay attention. And we are beginning to do that. I thought we had a good start today. Thank you so much, everyone who called. My last word before we go is to remind you again, on May the 26th, I really, really want to see your face. I really want to shake your hand. I really want to give you a hug and say, oh, I'm so glad to see you and so glad to meet you. So remember, May the 26th is our date at 40 East 35th Street, the community church. At 1 o'clock sharp, I'll start talking. And at 12:30, registration. That's just a way of saying, well, I met this person and then I remember this person. And so we build on that and build a greater and greater community. We'll see each other tomorrow. Free Your Mind Friday. Bye-bye.